Would you join me in prayer? And Almighty God, we pray for you that you have brought us here today, not only to lift our praises to you, but also to lift our prayers and petitions. We praise you that you have heard us. We praise you that through your Holy Spirit you are present with us. And we pray that now, as we have come to the sermon, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning's sermon comes to us from Psalm 84. Some people kind of wonder, well, what all's in the Psalms and what do they have to say to me? Well, as I've told you before, anyone who asks me what books should I read first in the Bible will get the answer, first off, read the Psalms. Because when you read the Psalms, you see both the highs and the lows of humanity. You see the folks who know that everything is going to be all right because everything is all right now. And you also see the folks who know that everything's going to be all right because even though they are down in the depths, God has spoken to his people and he has promised them that he never leaves or forsakes us. So the Psalms are definitely one of the go-to places in Scripture. And I got to tell you something else about this one. This was written by a member of a group called the Sons of Korah, K-O-R-A-H. Well, John, why is that so important? Oh, trust me, I wouldn't give you unimportant information, right? Of course. So, if I tell you it's very important that the son of Korah wrote this, it's because it's very important. Hold that thought. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. Selah. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold our shield, our God. Look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. And this is the word of the Lord. A few years ago, I read of a trend on the blog of a guy who was once president of Lifeway Publishing. And according to this guy, an active church member 15 years ago attended church three times a week. Now, it's three times a month. It was three times a week, now it's three times a month. And it seems we've always faced the questions of corporate worship. Do I really want to get up today and go to church? Do I really want to go to worship today? Do I really want to worship with those people? Do we really want to hear that preacher? And I've actually had folks tell me before, well, I can't go to this church and I can't worship with these people. They're all hypocrites. Well, I hate to tell you this, honey, but look in the mirror. Oh, by the way, before you look in the mirror, look at the guy you're talking to. If you want to start with the hypocrite, start with the one behind the pulpit. Not perfect. And I'm going to let you in on something. If this was a perfect church, folks, y'all blew it big time back in May of 2018 when you called me as your pastor. If you're waiting to attend the perfect church because you are the perfect Christian, you're going to be waiting a long time. And here's what it comes down to today, because I think that the author of this psalm would not have understood the sentiment behind this trend. He may have understood the questions, probably asked them himself, but he would not have understood people willingly neglecting the corporate worship of God's people. And it turns out that God has always expected his people to join together in worship. And I read from the Psalms. It's the biggest book in the Bible. Folks, it is the hymnal of the Bible. Jesus sang these Psalms. His ancestor David wrote about 70 of the 150. So you have all of this history of worship, of corporate worship. And you have this guy from the sons of Korah who writes this thing. And here's what it comes down to. It turns out that the sons of Korah are descended from a guy named Korah who rebelled against Moses and Aaron because he was jealous of their relationship with the people. These guys' dad was a rebel. He wasn't just a rebel. He led a bunch of folks to their deaths in his rebellion. But it's fascinating how the Bible tells us that when Korah is standing over here saying, I'm just as good as Moses, his sons are way over here. They want nothing to do with Daddy. They know Daddy is wrong, and they're not going to stand with him. And it turns out that King David himself awarded the sons of Korah a prominent place in worship about, ballpark it, 400 years later after Moses. Daddy may have done this, but sons stood firm in faithfulness. And it turns out they were blessed because of it. And it turns out that because they worshiped in the temple, because they served in the temple, they could write some of the most beautiful hymns that you will find. And this one opens up saying, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. Now, Solomon had built this temple, covered the thing in gold, and as the sons of Korah and other folks were coming into the temple to prepare for the temple for worship every day, they would have seen the sun rising over the Mount of Olives and hitting this golden building. And folks, it would have been one of the most spectacular things that you would ever have seen. But it was more than just physical beauty. Because these people say, my soul longs, it faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. These folks believed what we should know today. Y'all, we don't belong here. None of us on our own merits belong in the house of God. Okay? Ain't none of us perfect. If you are, tell me after church and I'll apologize. But the thing is, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that you're a sinner like I am, and therefore we do not belong in the presence of a holy God. And yet, he gives us that privilege. So we come in here with hearts of joy because we know we have been accepted and forgiven in spite of what we have done. And some folks may say, well, I don't think I belong in church. This author says that even the birds find homes in the sanctuary. Most of the temple back in those times was outside. Now, they did all the sacrifices and everything. The animal sacrifices and stuff happened outside. By the way, church back then was not like church today. Church back then was more like a good old-fashioned southern barbecue. Because you're going to have all these folks bringing all of these animals, and they're going to be sacrificing the animals. And as part of the sacrifice, now the priest cooks some of the meat on the altar, and then you feed everybody. I'm telling you, they'd make good Southerners. I mean, hey, every time we get together, we got to eat. Sounds great to me. Except for the fact they didn't eat pork. Bless their hearts. I'd have been horrible back then. But the thing is, you see, everybody was welcome. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. And God had told the people that all from all over the nation, three times a year, all the men had to come to Jerusalem to worship. You know, you're worshiping it. It will worship back home every other time, but three times a year you come back. And these people would have sung these songs as they went up, literally up, to the temple in Jerusalem. Now, Jerusalem's about 2,500 feet above sea level, about half a mile above sea level. So the rest of the nation was going up to worship in Jerusalem. And as they went, they would pray for God to hear their prayers, to give an ear to them. And as God promised that his protection to them, they would proclaim to him that God is a shield for his people. And then we get one of the greatest things about this passage here. The psalmist says, a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Do you look forward to coming to worship that you realize that this is the only place that you would rather be at this particular moment? Do you realize what it took to give you this privilege? Do you realize what it took for God to give you this privilege? And you have all these folks who want to be somewhere else. Maybe they're out doing something else. And these folks who are constantly, even while they're sitting in church, they're trying to scheme about something else to do and so forth. And you find the psalmist says, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Got a lot of folks out there who are doing a whole lot of things, and some of them probably aren't too good. And the reality is, you will find nowhere better to be when it comes time to worship than worshiping with the sinners in the house of God. Because here's what it really comes down to. Believe it or not, it can get better than what I've read. And it has. Because about 2,500 years about 2,500 years ago, this guy wrote this psalm about worshiping in the sanctuary of God. A day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Well, it turns out that we had a birth that we just celebrated a little over a week and a half ago that makes it even better for us. Because Jesus, the Son of God, came to earth, born of the Virgin Mary, lived as a Jew, and worshipped in that temple in Jerusalem. He sang this hymn. Jesus knew the blessing of corporate worship. Jesus knew the beauty of the sanctuary built by Herod. By the way, it dwarfed the sanctuary that Solomon himself had built. As a matter of fact, Herod's temple probably made Solomon's look like a storage shed compared to one of these mansions around here. And Jesus worshipped in the temple on a Passover week. And by the end of that week, he lay dead in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he rose again. And when he rose again, he gave us the privilege of celebrating that. Every time Christians get together on a Sunday, it's because we celebrate a resurrection. It's the Jews who set the date. All of the early Christians were Jews. They moved the date of worship from Saturday to Sunday because they realized that the only thing greater than the Sabbath day of God was the Sunday resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is through the Sunday resurrection that we come in here. It is through the Sunday resurrection that we have the assurance of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives. And when we believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He didn't indwell the people at the time of the psalmist, but he does today. And the Holy Spirit calls us together to worship with one another because we cannot grow without or mature in our faith without corporate worship. Haven't done this in a while now. It's as good a day as any. Repeat after me. I need to worship with you. Look at the person next to you. I need to worship with you. Look the other way. Those of y'all looking at the wall, you're exempt. Look back at the other person. I need to worship with you. It is through worship that we come together. It is through worship that we bring our doubts into this sanctuary and we hear the affirming words of God Himself. It is through worship that we hear that we are forgiven. It is through worship that we hear that we are redeemed. And it is as we come to this table right here, and if you have any question at all of whether God has accepted you, look at that table. We will celebrate that Jesus died. And if you were the only one who needed it, He'd have died for you. We will gather and we will distribute the elements of the sacrament. Jesus' body broken for you and for me. Jesus' blood shed for you and for me. Not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. And because He loves us, He has called us together. And He has helped us to live godly lives together. And I hope that in this year, we will all make worship a priority in our lives. May we come together in His courts with praise. May we see worship not as a habit we have to keep, but as a holy moment when we are allowed into the presence of God through His grace, and we hear words of forgiveness, words of redemption, words of adoption. And as we come to this table, may we remember a loving God who has given us the privilege of coming into His courts with praise. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.